Okay, Mark, open prayer for us there, brother.
Thank you, Father Yahweh, for bringing us all here today to study your word, Yeshua. We ask your blessing on Craig and his teaching today and on us as we receive that teaching and go forth this week to spread the gospel and spread the word of the coming again of your son, Yeshua. And Yeshua's precious name, we also ask you for forgiveness for all of our transgressions this week and for your continued help with all of us as we continue to repent of our sins. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Now, today I'm going to speak on the subject of the importance of meetings. You know, let's see here. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, Christ said this. These are very important words to analyze. He says, "For where there are two or three gathered together." How many do we have here today? Three, six, seven. Okay. "Where there are two that are three gathered together in my name," there's where we are, in the name of Yahweh. Notice these final words. He says, "I am in their midst." So isn't it amazing that the Spirit moved me with these two illustrations? And here we're moved. It's because Yeshua is in our midst. It's amazing. He's in our midst. His angels are here. And so what faith inspiring moments these become to us, see, when we realize this. When you're not here, Blue, or you're not here, Zaina, or any of us, yes, we enjoy ourselves. We have meetings, sometimes large groups, sometimes small groups. We've had 40 some people here, one time 30, generally 20. But anytime any of you are missing, because you are of the body of Christ. Guess what? We are not receiving the full portion of the Spirit that we could. Because every one of you has a Spirit of Yahweh and Yeshua within you. Okay? And you are not here to share that with us. Okay? So we're deprived in that sense of what you could offer. See, so it's not the question of, "Hey, Blue, hey, Dave, we got low attendance. I'd love for you to be here at the meeting today. We need attendance." That's not really the story. The story is we're all of one body. We all are used by Yahweh. We all have separate gifts. Mark, you have gifts I don't have. I have gifts you don't have. Some of us have the same gifts. You and I have the same gifts. But if we're not here, we're depriving the congregation. And also, how do you think Yeshua feels? He's here. He tells you he's here. But you've got to do this. You've got this to do. Somebody else has this to do. Now, I'm not talking about sickness. Don't get me wrong and think I'm fanatical. Don't think I'm, saying, "Oh, you can't miss." No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we as humans get into ruts. We get into comfort zones by which we will take a certain day or a certain period in our mind and say, "Well, I have to do this today." See? And all too often, Satan will plant that so it ends up on the very day we assemble. See? And it's happened to me. So don't think I'm talking out of my, blabbering forth here without giving thought to what I'm saying. And once you get in that habit, Satan will make it very convenient for you to stay in that habit, say, of missing these vital gatherings. I had a brother once that was here. Some of you may remember him. I won't mention his name. Porphy, did you get any water for me? Would you bring it to me, please? Well, if you eat for a moment. And this brother kept, during the meeting, I noticed, I don't run long. He kept going. How rude, say, to a shepherd. You know, how rude. You know, all the time.
What do you watch?
Yeah. And so I addressed him one time. I said, look, I said, brother, how much time do you spend with Yahweh during the week? I knew he was doing something constantly, never studying. I always was on the pick up the Bible studying. I said, is it too much for you to give maybe an hour and 15 minutes to Yahweh? Well, it shook him. It shook him. I said, what you're doing here is the rudest thing, not to me, but you're doing it to Yeshua, that's sitting right here in this room with you, or in your presence. And that ended that. You know, thank you, dear.
That's what I was even going to say. That when you come to visit Yeshua, maybe he should check his watch in at the door.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
We've gotten on a roll before and been here for 2 hours.
Yes, we've been here on 2 hours.
I've been here too.
But I've been on rolls in congregations and been there for all day, you know, on congregation. So, you know, whatever the Spirit, you know, leads us to do, you know. But thank you, honey.
Acting at the Jewish Center for 4 hours now.
Yeah.
And I've arrived here today. Usually goes.
And here you are here.
2 o'clock.
Yeah, so that's one. That's see you. Your priorities are where they're supposed to be with Yahweh. See, and that is the key point.
I would think too on the Sabbath day, from Friday evening until Saturday evening, it should be thinking more with Him, about Him. With Him, in Him, whatever.
Or whatever day.
And that's a whole day right there.
Yeah, or whatever day you're taking to assemble. You know, we need to be minded like that, you know, in mind. You know, where we understand this is just not a whatever day it is. It's not just it's a day by which we gather, say, to study Yahweh and Yeshua. You know, see, it's like back under the Mosaic Law, when we were under Mosaic Law, in Isaiah 58, Isaiah said this, if you, in view of the Sabbath, you will turn back your foot as regards to doing your own delights on my holy day, and will actually call the Sabbath an exquisite delight, a holy day of Yahweh, one being glorified, and will actually glorify it, rather than doing, notice, your own ways. See, rather than finding what delights you and are speaking a word. You will, in that case, find your exquisite delight in Yahweh. And he says, I will make you ride on high places. It's just the idea that was under Mosaic Law. That is no different now under the New Covenant. Meaning, whatever day, you know, and generally like we meet on Saturday to reach the Jewish people, whatever day you so take together with the congregation to assemble, that's the attitude we should have. It shouldn't be, well, he told me once, he said, I've got to go to a movie. You know, I've got to go to a movie. Yeah, tell me that. He says, I says, I'm scheduled. See, that's just what that scripture is talking about. Because those problems existed under Israel too. See, they started doing their own things. And it's true today. It's just like moving. I tell people, why couldn't you move on Sunday? Why couldn't you move during the week sometime? Take a day off and move. Why do you have to do it on the very day we're assembled? Okay? And this can just go on and go on, see. Logical reasoning with people. But we get in this habit. Well, it's a day I used to go down to Santa Fe. It's a day that we can all be together, so we go to here. In there. Occasionally. There's nothing wrong with that. If something's important. But to do it just week after week after week. And I'm very concerned with the congregation. I'm going to tell you something. I haven't talked to you yet, but I've talked to Bill. And I can see Satan's making drastic moves on us. He's trying to break our health. He's trying to, you know, come in and disorganize us, to knock our attendance down. Everyone's, you know, doing this and that. And we were very strong there for a while, seeing attendance. What encouragement. You know, we had our potlucks. We had everything going. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts, especially I noticed with spring and summer, they start letting things happen. And we're not the only congregation. There's other congregations having similar problems. But we truly are a thorn to Satan's side. And he'd love nothing more than to, you know, destroy us. Give me an illustration. There was a minister here recently. Pardon me. Manny Aragon, who headed the Christian Academy. He headed the Christians Evangelical Association. Bill and Alana started talking to him about Yahweh and Yeshua and about pagan holidays and so forth. And he took it to heart. He started using the name of Yahweh Yeshua. He addressed his Plymouth Brethren congregation on these matters. And within weeks, he didn't have a job. Isn't that amazing? Showing you the power of what we're doing here. See, Satan struck at him like a whirlwind. And it happens. I've seen it happen and happen and happen. This is why association is so important. See, with a brethren. We need to strengthen each other. We are what? Soldiers in the army of Yeshua. Amen. Now you stop and think about that. Soldiers, go ahead, Mark.
Just like any good general, Satan is going to direct his forces where they're going to be most useful. The fact that we're under attack doesn't please me at all, but it's in a little way, it's reassuring that we're doing the right work.
There it is, boy. Well, here's the way I put it. We've got Satan's attention. We got his attention, whether we want it or not. See? But as soldiers of Yeshua, we're engaged every day. We're also ambassadors of that coming kingdom. We're telling them of what's really going to happen. You know, it's not heaven, hell. It's the kingdom coming to this earth. And the blessings of that kingdom to restore all things. So these are things that I want you to think about. See, now Mark, you're going to have to help me a little. Will you read for me Hebrews? Okay, let's turn to 10th chapter of Hebrews. And I want to share. Let's share the whole chapter. So Paul here is speaking of the law as a shadow, the ransom of Christ, and then I'll kick in later. But if you'll start off the chapter and read for me some of this.
Hebrews chapter 10.
What Bible are you reading out of?
This is the King James.
Okay, you want to read out of maybe it'd be easier. Can you read for me? Do you want to use his Bible? Or do you want him just to...
Go ahead, Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
I can read it,
yeah. Yeah, go ahead and read it for me a while. Because the King James is sort of hard to understand on something. Go ahead, 10.
So Hebrews 10, starting at the beginning.
Yeah, sorry at the beginning. I'll cut you off.
Okay. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifice under the systems were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. if they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifice would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, the sacrifice actually reminded them of their sins year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Yeshua came into the world, he said to Yahweh, you did not want animal sacrifice or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O Yahweh, as it is written about me in the scriptures. First, Yeshua said, you did not want animal sacrifice or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them. So they were required by the law of Moses. Then he said, look, I have come to do your will. He canceled the first covenant in order to put the second one into effect. For Yahweh's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Yeshua once and for all time. Under the old covenant, the priests stand and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifice again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to Yahweh as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at Yahweh's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so, for he says, this is the new covenant I will make with the people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and I will write them in their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when the sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices.
Okay, stop right there. I want to insert a thought here. The old covenant is replaced by the new covenant. This is basically, you know, what Christ said at Luke 22:20 for the Passover, the Lord's evening meal. He says, with my blood, I institute a new covenant. Now, under the old covenant, you had Moses as mediator. You had animal sacrifices that instituted that covenant. You had the celebration of the Sabbath and circumcision as those signs. Under the new covenant, of course, Yeshua is the mediator. There's no animal sacrifices. Now it's the power of the Lord's evening meal that replaces the other things of the old covenant and the Holy Spirit now. So it's a covenant by which you've got to understand only Yeshua could fulfill or bring about. It's a covenant by which he came to this earth as a human, pure human, not half God, half man. He had to come as a pure human being. That's like Romans 5:12, through one man sin entered into the world, through one man sins taken away. Now here's the point. Yeshua died for each one of us. He did what no other covenant before, whether it was a Mosaic law, Abrahamic, Noetian, could ever do. He through this covenant, died for each one of us. He cleansed us. He gave us not a temporary stay of appeal for 1 year like the Mosaic law did. Jews are still under this from one day of atonement to the next, meaning, their sins are covered for 1 year under their, under present day even. But this, his sacrifice, is for all one time. Catholic Church is so wrong. Catholic Church teaches that every time, you have to, it's Christ, when you take the Mass, you take the wafer in your mouth, it's literally Christ dying all over again for you. He doesn't die, he died only once, as is stated here. Once for all time. See? So this is the point about this covenant. It's a covenant which is so unique. Foreshadowed, now here's the point, not by the Mosaic law, but foreshadowed by the great covenant of faith, which was the Abrahamic covenant. See, where Abraham offers up Isaac. Unconditional covenant. Now, go ahead and read some more for me.
Okay, this is the superiority of faith.
What verse are you in?
Well, it looks like it's in, I guess it didn't finish 18.
Okay, go ahead and finish 18.
Before 19. Moving from argument to instruction, the author cites many examples of those who have demonstrated faith throughout history. Living by faith is far better than merely fulfilling rituals and rules. This can change us to grow in faith and to live in obedience with Yahweh each day. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Yeshua. By his death, Yeshua opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place.
Stop here. You understand what's being said there? Read that over again, please.
By his death, Yeshua opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. The curtain in the holy place was the temple.
Yes, that was the curtain that was torn too at his death. And that's separated, Yeshua no longer a Gentile Jew now would be separated that way. That was a major fulfillment of it. But here's the thing. Under Mosaic law, you couldn't do this. You couldn't approach Yahweh. There was no way of approaching him.
You couldn't go by the curtain.
No, you couldn't go by the curtain. So Yeshua broke that curtain and tore it. And so now, if you're laying on your bed at night, Mark's petting his cat, you're riding your bike, I'm up in the mountain somewhere, I lift my head off the pillow at night with the moon shining in. We've got Yahweh right now. We can talk to him, Abba, Father, Son. We have the same relation as Yeshua. He's the first of many brothers. Isn't that awesome? We can talk to him. We can talk to him just like we're talking. Yeshua is there with us. We have a 3-way conference call, at one time. I've had some of the best prayers driving along in a car I ever had in my life. Or maybe walking. That could never be done under Mosaic law. See, that was so beautiful, showing how much more intimate was the new covenant than the old covenant, or any other covenant preceding that. Noetian, or the closest was the Abrahamic covenant. That's just Mark.
When I go through the sermon that I'm preparing on the physics of God, and the math of God, I guess I haven't titled it yet, but I'm going to be talking about that that aspect, is that not only do we get personal time with God, He takes personal time with us.
Yes.
Because of the fact that He is outside of time, the time that we spend with Him is personal and one-on-one, literally. He's not busy with somebody else or anything else when He's spending that time with us.
So beautiful. I want to hear that. That's beautiful. And that is so true. And only under the new covenant is that possible, see. And so this is so beautiful, what's being said here. And keep in mind, I'd say 90-some percent of all churches don't have the vaguest idea about the ransom sacrifice. Now, what do I mean by that? They know Christ died for us. But they don't understand this, that Christ was fully human, He had to be, to pay back for the perfect human life that Adam had lost. It takes a perfect human life to be payback for a perfect human life. You can't have a half God, half human, which is a better sacrifice. See, you have to have man on man. And that's what Christ did. He divested Himself of all previous glories, being the Son of God, of the death angel, and all the cases you read about in the Old Covenant. He divested Himself of all that glory, so that He could come down and suffer and die in the manner that He did for each one of us. Now that's something. Why do you think He prayed, blood coming out of His perspiration in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He prayed to the Father, "Oh Yahweh, if it be Your will, let this cup pass." See, let some other provision take place. He knew the suffering was going to go through. And yet he didn't twitch or anything. He says, "But let Your will be done." And His will was done, see. Now, here's the point. I want all of you to be very alert on this. Here is the point here to this sermon. Why Paul, after discussing this, shows you why meetings are so important. Can you read that for me, please?
Where I stopped?
Yeah, where you stopped.
And since we have a great high priest who rules over Yahweh's house, let us go right into the presence of Yahweh with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Yeshua's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for Yahweh can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to act in two acts of love, God, and good works. And let us not neglect our meetings together.
See, here's the point. Let us not neglect.
But encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near.
See, that was a problem even in Paul's day. They were doing that. They were neglecting. See, and that's why he addresses it. And especially, he says, in our day, that's no time to be neglecting meetings. See, it's because of the nearness of the time. Now, go ahead and read me 26 on, please.
Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of Yahweh's judgment and the raging fire that will consume His enemies. For anyone who refuses to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of Yahweh and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit, who brings Yahweh's mercy to us. For we know the one who said, I will take revenge, I will pay them back. He also said, the Lord will judge his own people.
Okay. You can end there. But here's the point I'm getting at. Meetings, you wouldn't think meetings would be that important, you know, from just saying meetings. If someone knows the truth of God's word and they consistently neglect the meetings, that becomes a major sin. Just like any other sin. If you've got a marijuana problem, let's say, and you keep smoking marijuana, you know it's wrong. You know the government's not for it, but you know basically Yahweh doesn't want us to sustain ourselves on drugs or get our highs and lows. But if you dismiss this in the back of your mind, say, oh, well, you know, this is comforting to me. I'm going to continue on this. Yahweh understands. Bam, bang. This, what you might say, minor thing becomes major in Yahweh's sight. It's the same thing with, let's say, committing, although it's a more major sin, adultery or fornicating. You love Yahweh. You study, you meet at the meetings. but yet you have this weakness. You like women, or you like men. So, invariably, you go to places where you know you shouldn't be. See? And it's just not, you know, maybe one or two times, and, you know, you feel bad, you say, Yahweh, I won't do this again. But now, it becomes sort of a, you know, well, I'm doing everything else. You know, I'm going to at least enjoy myself, say, on this Friday or Saturday. And so, what happens is, you go out and you dance, you find a woman, you find a man, maybe not that time, or the next time, but eventually, you're going to wake up in bed with that person. See? Satan will make sure that happens. See? Now, the one practicing sin is not going to faze him too much. He'll say, oh, Yahweh, forgive me. That's how he'll go through the motions. But then, invariably, he'll go back to it. So, with any other sin. But if he's truly chosen, you know what I mean by chosen, not just called, that has died to himself, he's living this book, he realizes about the trampling on the blood, you know, trampling on the blood of Christ. If he truly is chosen, this scenario may happen to him. Wow, isn't that strange? But if it happens to him, or to her, it's not going to be a practice. Because the conscience, it'll just be like sticking a hot poker right into the heart. And you will wake up that next morning, look over and say, oh Yahweh, what have I done? And that'll be it. You'll never repeat that sin. If you do, maybe one more time, I hope not. But it eventually burns you up alive. Where you don't, oh Lord, it's sickening. You begin to hate that sin like Yahweh hates it, Yeshua. Whatever that sin is. That's a chosen person. See? So we want to be in that position where we're chosen and not trampling upon the blood of Christ. Don't think meetings are not important. Don't think that over drinking is not important, or use of drugs is not important. Yes, you may at times need something, but if you get addicted to these things, they can become major sins, just exactly what Paul's talking about. And there is no sacrifice for those sins after a period of time. That is where that sin leads to the sin of the Holy Spirit, which is an unforgivable sin. Now, I'm not talking about instant. I'm talking over a period of time. I have seen this in brothers and sisters. I've seen it to the point where the battle has gone on for years. And then eventually they just stopped coming. No matter what I said to them, it's like water over the dam. They get tired of hearing. Why does he keep calling me? Oh, I tell you, man, he's driving me nuts. See, there the attitude starts to change. Or you maybe won't tell me that. They'll tell others that. See, why does he keep at me? I'm my own boss. And that's how it developed. And it may take years. I've seen it happen over years. These people, I don't even know where they are anymore. They're gone. See, it's just the idea that this is a very important chapter. Very important. It's one so often neglected. Nobody really wants to read about this right here. You know, it's just pretty rough. Sort of does a little burning in itself. So, you know, Paul, I'll tell you, Paul was a man who knew he had chosen words. He was led by the Spirit. So, just think on this. This is why I wanted so many to be here today. At least you got it recorded. That's wonderful. But, I'm even seeing that, sad to say, with this recording, I'm having all kinds of good feedback on this. You know, at Vegas, everywhere, listen. But I'm having people who are using this and not coming to meetings. Now, that's not the intent of that. The intent of that's for people who couldn't make a meeting or far away and can't. But when you start saying, well, I'm just going to stay home, I can hear him talk and listen to that and not fellowship and feed others, then you're defeating the purpose, see? So, any questions on the study today? Any further thought?
I guess I have one.
Go ahead.
I don't know. This is one of my own personal things I deal with myself on a number of times, and I feel bad because I don't know if it's considered, you know, am I learning, am I growing? And I do want to think I am, but when I have lack of faith in things that are happening around me, I get so consumed with everything, and I know it's probably Satan attacking,
sure,
different things, but I get mad at myself, or at times I feel like I'm blinded and I don't have the faith I should.
Well, just remember the case where, again, an illustration, Mark 9, a father brings his son to the apostles. He's demon possessed, the little boy. And they pray and pray and nothing happens. And then finally, you know, the question is asked to the apostles, Yeshua, they go to Christ and we can't drive this demon out. And this is where Christ talks about faith. And so he takes this little boy and he does an exorcism on him and the demons come out. And the apostles said later, why can't we do this? Because they lack the faith, see? And this is why it's so moving. The father comes up to Yeshua and he says, Yeshua, this is just probably a fisherman or a farmer there, a little boy. The little boy was throwing himself in the fire, You know, Satan's trying to destroy him constantly. He prayed and asked one of the apostles, not until Yeshua received him did he get healed. Do you know what this man asked Yeshua? He says, Yeshua, please give me more faith. Help me to have more faith. That's the prayer we must pray. Every day we must ask, Yeshua, forgive me for my lack of faith. Help me to have more faith. Okay? Help me where things I can't understand, help me over these hurdles. Now, as a shepherd, I've had my faith battered like the perfect storm many times, yeah, like the perfect storm of Satan. And thank goodness I'm still here. But don't think for a moment I haven't tottered, I haven't faltered, I haven't doubted. But I've just kept asking for that faith. I kept asking for it. And when I was allowed 10 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, when I was asked, I believed in Satan. Of course, I'd done, you know, work with state police, everyone, on exorcisms and satanic occult movements. And I wasn't a doubt in my mind after 40-some years of ministry, Satan was real. But I had an opportunity to face Satan, literally face him, which had never occurred in 40 years. And that's when I was used to come do an exorcism on two ministers out of Albuquerque. Yeah. And I'm not going into that. I've told you this story. But it's the idea that these ministers have been possessed by a woman from Haiti. Her sister went to their congregation and they asked the brothers to do an exorcism on her. Well, what happened was she did a job on them, Satan did, and took both of them, tried to kill both ministers. One was trying to commit suicide constantly, the other was slugging the other one, and yeah, this went on in the house for a week. With huge crowds, the church people sleeping on the floors. I was called down about a week later by this, his wife. And she just asked me, said, Craig, please. She says, please come down and help us. And I said, I'm on my way. You know, I was about 135 miles away. So I jumped in the middle of the night up, zoomed down, and to make the story short, I faced Satan. I mean, there was people laying on couches. There were people standing there. This man, I walked in, the minister was terrified. He's a black minister. His wife was black. Oh, beautiful. She came running to me. She says, Craig, please, please. She says, all week long we've been trying to do this. Can't do it. And I went in, and when I walked back down the hallway, I heard this shuffle, and the black minister had got slugged in the jaw by a white assistant minister. And the white assistant minister was in a corner growling like a huge animal. And this black minister was terrified. And I walked up to this brother, and it's strange, strangest thing, there was a bit of fear. Yahweh had just put me like in a shell. I hadn't even thought about anything being possessed. And he looks up at me, I'll never forget it. And we were good friends. He even gave me a Bible, you know, study book. He says, oh, Craig, I'm so glad to see you. This is the one that slugged the black minister. You know, was growling like an animal. And I said, well, I'm glad to see you, Phil. Let's take you into the back here, into the den. And so he follows me back to the den. People laying on couches, sleeping. My daughter-in-law had come. This is one who later became a Muslim. Married my youngest son. She was pregnant. Had fallen asleep on the couch. I went into the den, and right away they told me the story, how his belt began to speak to him. around him. He had tried to commit suicide all week. Bill literally talked. And witnesses to this. And he tried to kill members of his family. And so they brought him there so that the whole church could pray for him. And they took shifts. And I said, has anyone anointed this man in the name of Yahweh and Yeshua? And that had been an issue with these two ministers. They didn't want to use the name Yahweh. And it told me once, never come down again if you're going to use the name Yahweh and use it in prayer. We were good friends. So that was an issue. So a key issue. And so basically, I got him off the couch, and it was in the book of Matthew, I think. He started quoting Matthew. I told you this, Mark. Faster. You know how fast a computer can kick out words. I don't know how fast it can kick out. He's kicking it out like 100 miles an hour. People were reading, and he never missed a word. And I let him go on for a little bit. I couldn't believe it myself. Just quoted. That's one of these machines quoting. And I looked down at him, and I said, brother, get down on your knees. I'm going to anoint you. I'm not going to anoint you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to anoint you in the name of Yahweh and Yeshua. And he gets down on his knees off the couch, and I close my eyes, and I start to anoint him. And as I anoint him, I hear everyone go, oh, you know, like this. My son, assistant pastor, standing right by the doorway. I could even hear him let out a yell. I thought, what's going on? I didn't look. Suddenly, I felt his head going like this. He had levitated off the ground about that much on his knees and was like a teeter-totter. And I was pressing him on his head, and every time I would, he'd go down and then back up. And I anointed him, and again, cut the story short. I never heard such an ungodly, hideous horror movie sound. I mean, the Amityville horror, or the, what was it, The Exorcist? You could never get a scream in there that sounded like that. Came out of this man, went to the back wall, which was in the den, a brick wall. At that moment, screaming and everything, you could hear it coming out like a roar, just like I was facing a saint, you know, a roaring lion. My daughter-in-law got knocked clear off the couch. She said, just literally force knocked her off the couch. Every cat, every dog in the neighborhood, and this was in a close, you know, little neighborhood, over by the golf course, you know, there in San Mateo, mini golf or something, started barking. This is about 4 a.m. Started barking and screaming like cat fights. There were people back in the kitchen where we had come from, who didn't have room to get up in the front, never saw this, but they come running out of the kitchen saying, oh my God, the smell, you can't stand it. Well, I went through the back wall of the den, and the utility room's right next to that, right behind that wall. And this black woman was so clean, I would lick off her floor, not worry about nothing, you know, immaculate. I walked back in that room where they said the smell was coming, and you could see it had already left. But the place was immaculate. No laundry, beautiful, you know. So the demon left that man. And so the minister was so grateful to me, and everyone hugged me, and I was exhausted. And I came back up to good old Taos. Got up to Taos, and here sits my wife. She's not sitting. Never forget it. She opens the back door, and she says, back to Albuquerque. I said,
oh, they called?
Yeah, they called. The black minister was possessed. See, I didn't know. They hid it. Demons hide. See, they went out of him, and part of them did, but some of them went in, and some had already been in them from the motel with the 80 woman. So I went back, did it all over again. When I got down the house, no one was in the house. They were all scared to death. So I went in there, did it on him. Yahweh gave me the power. And he sits there next to me and he says, Craig, is it because I deny the name of Yahweh and Yeshua and made such a mockery? And all during this first exorcism, he had started screaming in my ear, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I tell you, I even forgot the name of Yahweh for a moment. You know, it's just, you know, someone is screaming. And so when I did it on him, and he asked me, I said, most certainly, that's exactly what happened. You don't mock Yahweh. See? And so it all went well. He didn't go back to his house for another month. He never started pastoring again, neither one, until much later. But the exorcist took place. And but I truly, I've never, ever, I've done some other ones, but nothing that would make me, let's put it this way, would it make me, if I didn't believe in God, totally believe through the back door approach there was a God and there was another world. And I'm thankful for that. So, you know, strange things have happened during these years of ministry. And so I can see, you know, how we face all kinds of obstacles as soldiers. You've got to realize, if it wasn't for his spirit upon us, Christ being here now, I truly believe we'd perish quicker than I could move my finger there. Satan would destroy us all. If you knew every day of your life what's going on over your computer, Mark, there in the office, or what's going on with you, Blue, you travel along, or you, Dave, any of you, listen, it's a battle scene above you every day. It's a battle scene. We're in Satan's world. Remember this. This isn't Yahweh's world. We're under Satan's domain now. He is the god of the systems. That's being allowed. But we are soldiers, ambassadors, behind the lines, facing this every day. That's why we're called aliens, see, in a foreign world. Pilgrims. So understand your position here, you know, and realize what a privilege you have to be here at the meetings. Not because I'm giving her, Mark's giving her some. For us to be here as brothers and sisters. See, the blowing of the shofar, everything means so much. Yes, Mark.
One of the things that I'll sometimes use as an icebreaker is you'll see something neat happen, and it's just like, oh, I'll say something like, oh, this is a wonderful planet. We'll have to conquer another one like it soon. And I'll usually get a funny look like that, and it's just like, well, yeah, I'm not of this world.
Oh, I think.
And depending on the reaction I get, that can sometimes be an icebreaker.
Yeah, it is. It's fun.
Other times, it's a deal breaker.
Yeah. You don't know, Hannah. Well, let's. I hope you enjoyed this. Let's all stand. We'll ask the blessing. I'm sorry about all the barking and the coughing. But allergies do this. So.
I'll get it fixed by Friday.
Poor Mark. Okay, let's all hold hands and ask the blessing. And we'll ask the final blessing. And Dave, would you lead us, please?
Yeshua, and please give our brothers and sisters deep faith, deep wells of faith. May they come to our meetings knowing that other things will be taken care of for them, whether it's the moving or troubles in life. May they have enough strength with their sicknesses and to come and gather with us, brothers and sisters, so we can support one another in the name of Yahweh and be a beautiful, shining light in the deepest darknesses of this world, to know that Yeshua is coming again and he's with us constantly, and that curtain has been torn and we are with you, Yahweh, every step of the way. And Yeshua, we follow in his footsteps.
Yes.
Bless us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.